going to start something new this week, and it's called I Am Jesus is the series title that we're going to talk about. And it's not that I am Jesus, but we're going to look at the thing, because some of you know, Jesus is one of the most talked about people in history. One of the most talked about, there's more books about Jesus than anybody else. There's like 100 and something movies. They even have a Jesus vampire slayer. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but they have all kinds of stuff having to do with Jesus, right? I mean, it goes from one extreme to the other. And depending on who you talk to about Jesus will depend on what kind of an answer that you get. You know, if you think about it, it's a lot like us. Depending on who you talk to, you'll get different answers about who a person really is, right? And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is look at who Jesus says he is. Because again, you see, like if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they'll tell you that Jesus is a created being and that he's actually the Archangel Michael is who Jesus is to them. If you talk to a Mormon, he's not an eternal God. He's a polygamous man who's the half-brother of Lucifer that became one of many gods. So if you talk to a Unitarian Universalist, they'll say that Jesus is kind of like Mr. Rogers, right? He's a really, really nice, super duper nice guy. He's very sweet. He only says really nice things, and he wants to take us all to Never Never Land. That's basically what you get out of that. Now, that's a little bit on the funny side, but that's basically what they say behind it. If you talk to a New Ager, they'll probably tell you something that's congruent with the teachings of Deepak Chopra, who said that I see Christ as a state of consciousness that we can all aspire to. There's so many different ideas of who Jesus actually is. And just like us, man, we really want people to talk to us about who we really are instead of just taking everybody else's word for it, right? So what we're going to do, we're going to look in Scripture, man, because in Scripture we see to the dead man, Jesus was life. To you and me, he was life. To the prostitute, he was a second chance, if you read in Scripture. To those that are searching for something, how many of you know we're all searching for something, longing to find something? He's a long-awaited answer. You might call him Savior, and I hope that you do. Or maybe right now, today, he's just the God that you read about in the Bible or in history and don't really know who he is. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a look at what he said he was, what he said, the I ams of Jesus and what he said. And today, we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd in John 10:10. That's why Aaron said he stole my scripture. Isn't it cool how God works things together like that? Y'all ever noticed it? He just orchestrates it that way. But John 10:10 and 11 says this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is talking about the devil, our enemy. And then he goes on to say, but I came that they may have life and life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, is what he says. This is how he described himself. He would commonly refer to himself as the shepherd and us as his flock. A couple things that we have to know about sheep. How many of you like sheep? They're cute little animals, right? Well, honestly, sheep are really not very clean animals. They're very, very dirty animals. Sheep are stubborn. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep get lost easy, and they tend to wander off. Why in the world would he call us sheep, right? Thinking about that thought, I don't understand that, right? I know that's not y'all, you know? Psalms 100, verse 3 says this: know that that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I love this passage because it does a couple of things. It declares that we belong to God. How many of you know, whether you have accepted him or not, you belong to God. Yes. We all belong to God. He created us. He created us for him. We are the sheep of his pasture. You know, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, when you look at them together, the closest word to describe, or the same word for shepherd in the Old Testament, is pastor in the New Testament. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but it's true. They work together. So here's how I'd like for us to think about our shepherd, is that Jesus is the ultimate pastor. He's always there for us. How many of you know we need pastors at different times? And I'm not just saying that because I'm a pastor, because you know what? I have a pastor, Pastor Carl Kelly, man. I call him, I talk to him, I lean on him, I get advice from him, he helps me. How many of you know he's one of the only, there's a lot of people that try to scold you and tell you you're not doing right, but there's some people you give that place in your life and say, hey, man, help me, and that you actually listen to and they do it. You know what I'm talking about? That's Carl Kelly to me. My father's one of them. Carl Kelly's another one. I have a pastor. I'm privileged that I'm your pastor here at Victory Church, that I'm the pastor here, and I thank you for that. I love being able to be a part of it and be a part of your lives and go through things with you and help. Let me tell you something about pastors, though. For a long time in this last, I don't know how many years, pastor's role has really been really jacked up in the church, right? It's been put as a role of, and I've been to churches, and I know some people that have gone to them where nothing can happen unless the pastor says it's okay. Like, I can't buy a car, I can't buy a house unless I go to the pastor, and he says, yes, you can do it. And a lot of people see a pastor as somebody to tell you how to live your life. Like, this is my situation, you tell me what to do. That's not the role of a pastor. That's not the role. My role as a pastor isn't to tell you what to do. My role as a pastor is to tell you what the word says and let you decide what you need to do. Let you decide what you need to do. It's not to say you need to do this or do this or just tell me what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I might tell you what I would do. Like, if it was me, I'd probably do this. But this is what the scripture says, and this is why I get why I think this way. But how many of you know, ultimately, when you stand in front of God, you're not going to be like, well, Pastor Toby said I should do this. And he's going to be like, oh, it's okay. He messed up. It's all right. It'll be okay. That's not what's going to happen. He's like, but what did you do? Same thing I do with my kids. I told you guys this before. My kids come to me and I'm like, what did you do? He's like, well, she did. No. Let's put it back on you. What did you do in the situation? How did you react to what she did? I don't care what she did. I'm going to deal with her in a minute. I got you right now, right? That's how I see God talking to me. And if you're like, when I get up there, I'm like, God, but you know, what happened? That's a lot of people are going to be saying that. When we come down to it, man, we need to understand that it's not a pastor's role to tell you how to live your life. It's to point you to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change your life and to lead you and guide you where you need to be. But you know what? There's sometimes that I will not be able to help you in your situation. Sometimes my pastor can't help me. And what happens? What do I have to do? I have to turn and rely on Jesus to be there for me, to give me the comfort that I need, to be the good shepherd in my life, to be the one that in the midst of the craziest storm in my life, when no word that any man could say to me could help me, that he gives me that peace. Amen? That comes from our good shepherd, Jesus, our good shepherd, Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4 says this, and he's talking actually to other pastors in this scripture. He said, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God has given them to you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those who you are in charge. How many know sometimes people are very domineering in what they do, right? That's not the role of a pastor. That's not who a pastor should be. But being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Do you know what scripture says? And going back into what it says here just a minute ago, what it says right there, being examples to the flock. You know what? That goes right along with what James says, is that teachers, pastors, leaders are held to a higher standard. Right? Why is that? Because people should be able to look and say, that's what my life should look like. Right? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Later on, he's like, just follow Christ because I'm going to mess it up, right? But basically, pastors' lives should be an example. Amen. I said, well, why are you telling me it's because you're not a pastor? Because I hope that I live up to that standard. I really do. I try. I fail sometimes, but I do try. And that's one of the things that you got to understand, that the scripture tells us not to trust men. It tells us to trust God. Right? And if we're trusting God because of what men are doing, then we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. We need to look to him. He is our shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. And my goal this morning is going to be really, really simple, man. I want you to see Jesus in that way in your life. One of the most popular and most beautiful verses in the scripture in the Bible talks about how he's our shepherd. If you look at Psalms 23, most of you guys know this. It was on the pillows, cross-stitched on pillows. They don't even do cross-stitch anymore, do they? You just go to the store and buy them kind of like that. But anyway, at least that's what I do. Sorry. This is one of those scriptures that everybody's heard of before. Even the world has heard of this. There's been songs that it's been used in by people that you can tell by their lives they have no clue who God is, right? And they still use the terminology that comes out of this. But this was written as an encouragement, right? Now, I'm sure he's going through that, and I don't know if when he wrote this that he was trying to convince himself. How many of you ever do that? I say stuff because I'm trying to talk me into it, so I realize that's exactly what's going to happen, right? Sometimes we do that. I don't know if he wrote it like that or if he was writing it just for you and me. But this is what he said. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this passage because it doesn't say that he's the shepherd. What does it say? It says he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. It gives Jesus that place in his life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take just a few more minutes, and I'm going to go over 6 points that come out of this block of scripture that we're going to go through. And the first thing that I want us to see about, the first thing in your notes is that the shepherd always provides. He's our provider. Our provision is through him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what that means? That means I will lack nothing. I will lack nothing. Now, how many of you know wants and needs are two separate things, right? Wants and needs are two separate things. But this is the thing over the last, I've served Christ for 18 years now. Now, I've known about him my whole life, but the last 18 years, I've given my life to him, and I've followed him, and I've seen time and time and time again that God is faithful to me. Even sometimes when I'm not faithful to him, he's still there for me. He's never let me down. And I bet you could say the exact same thing, amen? He's never let you down. Now, he may have done things in a way that I didn't see coming and that I didn't really like at the time, but later I look back and I'm like, okay, that's why you were doing that, huh? That's why you were doing that. You were honestly protecting me because this is what was going to happen if that hadn't happened. You might have difficult times and been able to say that he's faithful. And I hope that you haven't had a really, really tough times, but at the same time, when we do have them, we do get to see that he's always there, that he never leaves us, that he never forsakes us. He wants to be our shepherd. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." What does that tell us? That Christ paid for everything, that we can have what we need. God supplies what we need. Again, maybe not always our wants, but a lot of times he does that as well. But we got to remember that that's not the government or a job or other people that provide for us. It's God who takes care of us. Amen? The next thing, number two in your notes, is that the shepherd restores. In him is restoration. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Wonder why he has to make us lie down. Right? We get so busy doing stuff. How many of you know you need a day of rest? You need a day of rest. You're supposed to have a Sabbath. We're supposed to have a Sabbath. But how many of you know we don't honor Sabbath? Like, our Sabbath is like, okay, today's my day off, so I'm going to cut the grass and do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to feel so full of stuff that I want to do because I can't do because I'm at work, and that's going to be my rest. But how many of you know that's not rest? That's not rest. I'm more tired after my day of rest than I am when I'm working, right? I mean, I don't need to rest so much. Even God, man, he worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. He enjoyed. You know what? We need to just sit back and enjoy some things that God has for us. Amen. We need to take a Sabbath. He makes us lie down. Why? So he can restore our souls. Jesus used to go off by himself into the desert, right? Have a time of refreshing where he would go, and he would just spend time with God. And what would happen? His soul would be restored. We're so busy that we don't do that. But we have to remember John 14:27, Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." How many of you know we get afraid of so many things that if we would just trust him with, that we just give to him with it, he would give us a peace. The scripture says passes understanding. How are you that way in the middle of this? Because I have this. Because God's there, because Jesus is there. He wants to be the peace, and he wants to restore us. He wants to restore our hearts. He wants to restore our souls. The definition of restore is to return to an original or former condition or to bring back to health good spirits. He wants to restore us. How does he do that? By us getting in his word, by putting his promises inside of us and understanding in the middle of the turmoil that God promised this and God doesn't lie. And if he promised this, then I can walk through it and not have to worry about it. I can walk through it and I can understand that he's going to be there. And you know what happens when we start doing that? What happens? We get restored. When we start focusing on God instead of our issues and our problems, what happens? Our problems get smaller because God becomes a part of it. We start putting our focus. I remember I talked to you guys a while back about focus, about that picture that my wife took, and it was me and my wife in the front. We were all blurry and my kids were way in the back and they were clear as could be. Why? Because we were focusing on them and not us, right? That's what happens with our problems. Our problems feel like they're right in front of us and we feel like God's so far away. But if we just focus on God in the middle of it, God gets bigger in our situation. His will becomes clearer in our situation. Why? It's not that God left us. Most of the time we walk away from him, to be honest. Remember, sheep wander off. Like, hey, where'd you guys go? We need to remember, man, that if we would just focus on him. And I don't know about you, but in the middle of a situation, in the middle of a problem, if I just shut everything off and I turn on some worship music and I start praying, guess what happens? A peace comes over me. A peace comes into my life, into my heart. Why? Because he wants to restore me. He wants to make a trade with us. Our craziness for his peace. Our turmoil for his peace, his comfort. He wants to restore us. Number three in your notes, man, the shepherd leads. He wants to lead us. The psalmist says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Or we can say he just leads me in the right path. He takes me in the right direction. There are many paths that we get to choose in our life. We can go this way, we can go that way. But how many of you know the path that's going to be the best for us? The path that's going to take care of us the most. Now, it may still have some resistance, because how many of you know anytime you try to do something for God, there's resistance that comes in your life. There is. Anytime that you start to step out and do something, you start to try and do a new ministry, or you start to do this, you start to follow the way that God wants you to follow, what happens? Something crazy happens to take your focus off of that. You know, your wife gets sick. She's at home in bed. Something happens. Your kids get attacked. Something happens. Something's happening. There's good things that are going on, and because of that, other stuff comes into play to take you out of it. But this is the thing. God is bigger than any of those, and when you step out in faith and you continue to walk the path that he has for you, what happens? You're not by yourself in it. I was watching a movie. Yeah, nothing to do with God. Yesterday, it was an old movie, and one of the guys in it said this. He said, even in the middle of the darkest forest, there's still a path. There's still a path. And I thought, man, how true is that, God? You still have my path laid out for me. Even if I can't see it, it's still there. And all I got to do is trust in you and follow you. Listen to what you have to say to me. Follow your voice. Many of us probably know the path that we're on and know it's not the right one right now. Know that we need to turn to him. But this is the thing. You will never walk in the victory that God intended for you unless you put your life on his path. Unless you follow him. He speaks to us, man. We just have to listen. John 10, 3 through 5 says this. It says, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, when he has brought all his own, out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for strangers do not know the voice, or for the sheep do not know the voice of the stranger. So this is what I've been told. I haven't done a ton of research on it, but I'm just going to tell you what I've heard. This is what happened. When they would come to a town, right, they would put all the sheep in one pen, like all the sheep, like my sheep, your sheep, their sheep, everybody's sheep. We'll go into a pen. And what would happen? When the shepherd would come, he would open the gate and talk to his sheep, and all the sheep that didn't know who he was would run away, and his sheep, he'd be like, hey, come on, come on, come on, and they would come out. The gate open, sheep coming out, all the ones that didn't know him would run away, and all the ones that did know their shepherd's voice would follow them out and go with him. Why? Because they knew that was their shepherd, and they would follow him. See, what happens is we start listening to other voices and start going and not just following the voice of God. We start walking after all these other ways or other paths or other things that are good. Now, you know what? And some of them may not be bad, but they're not God. That's the thing. There's a difference between good and God. There's an extra O in it, for one. Sorry, I couldn't stand it. I had to do it. Y'all were getting too serious, man. But it's one of those situations, one of those things that we do, we know his voice, and we need to follow it. We need to follow him, because this is the thing. He's going to lead us in the direction that we need to go. We can turn to our friends. We can turn to other people. We can turn to our family, say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And although they may give us great advice, it's not going to be what, it may not be what God has for us, right? There may be a reason why we're in the problem or the trial or the issue that we're in right now that's teaching us, like we talked about a week or two ago, about focusing on him in the middle of our problem, because he's the only one that can take care of it. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us, but we have to listen to his voice. God wants the relationship with us so that we know who he is, so that when we're in those issues, in those problems, he can speak to us and we can hear it. I love the story of Samuel, man, when he's laying there. This is a squirrel I'm chasing, y'all, but it's going to be a good one, I promise. The book of Samuel. Samuel's laying in the temple in a place that he doesn't usually lay down in front of the ark of God, right? He wasn't in his usual place, it says. And then God spoke to him and called out to him. And what did he do? He ran to Eli and said, "Hey, Eli, what you need?" He's like, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This is Toby's translation. Sorry. "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Then he came back, and the third time, Eli realized what was happening, and he said, "Man, that's God speaking to you. What I want you to do is I want you to say, 'God, here I am. What do you want me to do? I'm your servant. What do you want me to do?'" See, Samuel was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do, but he didn't really know him. He hadn't really met him. He hadn't encountered him. See, they didn't have the same access then as you and I do today. You and I can know him, can hear him, and can listen to him and know that, man, that's God, or no, that's not God. His spirit lives inside of us, according to the scripture, that helps lead us and guide us and gives us discernment on what's right and what's wrong. We just have to be obedient and listen. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. We need to know his voice. The number four in your notes, support. He supports us. Psalm says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me." You are with me. How many of you know God doesn't leave us? People might. People might be like, "Hey, I'm there for you." And then when you turn around and need them, they're not. You know, that happens. That happens. It's not because they're bad people. It's just because stuff happens. You know? There's going to be times when all you can rely on and all you have to walk with is God. And he'll never leave you. He'll always be there. This is what Paul said. He was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:16-17. He said, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me." Although you feel like you're completely alone, man, you never are. God is there. He's there with you when you're in an emergency room, sitting by yourself, and you don't know what's happening. He's there when you're in the courtroom and you're going through issues and you need God to intervene in something that's happening. When you're in your room all by yourself and you're crying, saying, I'm all alone, I got nothing," he's there for you, always. He's your shepherd. He's our support. He wants to be there for us. The next thing that it says is that he defends us. The shepherd defends us, number five in your notes. He fights on our behalf. He defends us. The Bible says, in Psalms 23 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why does a rod and a staff bring comfort? Because a rod is used for what? Correction. It's used for correction. That's what the rod is for. The staff is used to help, to walk, to lift up. You know, it has the crook on the end to help pick them up when they fall in places they don't need to be. There's a bunch of different things that happen. But one of the things that happens with both of those is what somebody said just a second ago, you hit somebody with it. That's right. It's for protection. It's for taking care of different things. The good shepherd uses it to protect his flock against the wolves, right? To fight a battle so that the sheep don't have to try and fight something that they can't win. How many of you know against the devil, man, you can't win on your own? You can't. But with God, he says, let me fight the battle for you. When again, I've said this time and time again, if you want to pick it up, he'll be like, all right, slugger, go ahead, right? Again, Toby translation, sorry. All right, man, go ahead. If you want to get up in there, you try to handle it and come see me when you mess it up, right? That's how he talks to me. I can hear it, right? He's there, man. But this is the thing. He doesn't want us to fight those battles. He wants to do it for us. He wants us to put it in his hand and say, God, here you are. That's the model of the good shepherd. Good shepherd will never cause you harm and will always be there to protect you. Jesus said this, John 10:10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A good shepherd will get in between you and anything that's going on to protect you. He did that for me. He did that for you on the cross. We celebrated that this morning. He's the good shepherd. And he did it. Why did he do that? Why did he lay down his life? Why did he step in front of all that for us? So that you and I could have a life and a life more abundantly is what the scripture says. So that we could have access to the Father who gives us freedom, who gives us forgiveness, who gives us peace, grace, mercy, all these things. He says, I want to fight your battles for you. Says, goes on to say this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Why would it say that? Like, why would it say you prepare a table? So, I'm going to sit down and have dinner while the battle's raging. Why? Because we have a peace in him, knowing he's in control and taking care of it. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be in conflict. He wants us to, while the war is raging, he wants us to sit back and enjoy it, maybe with some popcorn or something, right? Just watch him work and do what only he can do in the situation and have a peace in our life. The Bible calls us more than conquerors. Do you know, you realize that the whole Israelite army won when David cut off Goliath's head? They didn't fight a single, they were all too scared. But guess what? They all won the battle because of what David did. Let me tell you this. We've all won the battle because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And if we would just allow him to do what only he can do in our situations, if we would give him that place and allow him to fight our battles for us. But you know how hard it is to not pick that battle up, right? I'm a big dog. I want to get off the porch too, right? We need to just stop and just let him have it. Just let him fight our battles. Let him go through things and have a peace knowing that he's going to take care of them. That we don't have to make that comment back on Facebook because we're really mad about the situation. We don't have to try and get back at somebody. We don't have to think of ways that we can harm them so that they feel like we feel. You know what the scripture tells us? It says heap kindness on them. And in doing so, it'll heap coals of fire on their head. You be right. You act right in the middle of your situation. You do what's right. You follow Christ. You allow God to handle everything that needs to be taken care of. And what ends up happening in the end? Everything that's wrong will be right. Everything that's done in the darkness will be brought out into the light. Have you ever been avenged of something that everybody thought was wrong for the longest time and then the truth finally came out? It happens. That's what happens when we allow God to fight our battles. Just let him have it. Let him use his rod and his staff. Let him protect us. Let him defend us. The last thing, sixth thing in your notes, sixth point, is that the shepherd blesses. He blesses us. This is what it says. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy will follow me. Like it's going to chase me down, right? It's going to follow me. Where I go, his goodness and mercy is there with me. He wants to bless us. Our God is a giver. It starts off. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And you and I could have forgiveness. whosoever believed in him, not perish, but have everlasting life. A life and a life more abundantly. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever, who will be glory forever and ever. Amen. God wants to bless us. We're his children. He wants to take care of us. He wants to give us good things, right? He wants, are we going to have issues and struggles and battles? Yes. But again, he wants to prepare a table in front of us, in front of our enemy. He wants to equip us with the things that we need to have to be who he created us to be. In every different area, every different way, God wants to bless us. So what do we do with all of this? Our response. What is our response to Jesus that we need to know the shepherd? Again, I am the good shepherd, verse 14, chapter 10, John. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. So I have a dog named Sox, right? She's a little dog. She runs around. She runs away from everybody. Like, she runs to them and barks at them, but when they want them to go do something, she's like, hey, come. Like, April's like, come here. Sox is gone. My kids, especially. She, like, runs around the tree from them and stuff. It's great to watch it. But when I come out the door, I'm like, hey, Sox, come here. What happens? She comes running. Why? Because she knows I take care of her. She knows I discipline her. She knows that everything that I do, that it's because I love her. Right? And it's a dog. I get that. It's my dog. But my dog's like one of my kids. Y'all quit. Sox is amazing. But she doesn't ever worry about anything when she's around me. Like, she's 10 foot tall and bulletproof if I'm standing there. Right? Why? Because she knows me. Because she knows me. She knows if I call her to do something, she's not going to, like, I'm not going to call her to do something just to mess her up. Right? That's why I let everybody else give her a bath. I don't even. I don't do it. My kids like it. I'll give you $5, you bathe the dog. There's, man, water and soap everywhere, but she's clean and they like it. So this is the thing, man. He wants us to know him. He wants us to listen to him. So what is our response, man? God wants a relationship with us today. You say, I already have a relationship. Yeah, but he wants to go deeper. He wants to go deeper. He wants to be your shepherd today. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. The guys are going to come back up and start playing music. It's going to be good. But I want you guys to hear this, man. God's calling to you this morning. And like Samuel, man, I encourage you, man, be willing to listen. Be willing to say, God, here I am, man, whatever you want me to do. Because this is what it says in Isaiah 53, 6. It says, all we like shepherds have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to our own way. There's times where we start walking after what we want instead of what God wants. There's times that we walk away from God in the middle of the time that we need him the most. And this morning, man, I want you to come home to him. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to call you his own. This morning, man, while you're thinking about it, you say, you know what, that's me. I need that relationship. Maybe I've never had it this morning. You've never had it before. Or maybe you have and you started wandering off. You're that sheep that's wandered off, and he wants you to come back home this morning. He wants you to accept his grace, love, and mercy. Because again, Romans tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that none of us are perfect, but that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. You need to make it right with him today. You know, you need to change some things. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You be honest and say, you know what, that's me. That's me. I need to change. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. This is what I want to do. I want to say a prayer. I want us to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Everybody in the house, do this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. The things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. I accept you into my life. I confess my sins. I believe that you died and rose again. And that I can have new life. Forgiveness for my sins. Come into my heart. I give it all to you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give those who said that prayer a hand in the house this morning. Scripture tells us that when a sinner comes home, that all of heaven rejoices. So there's a party going on, y'all. I like it. I like it. I want to encourage you this. There are a lot of opinions of who Jesus is in society today. There's a lot of good ones, and there's probably twice as many bad ones. And this is what I want to encourage you with today. When we call ourselves Christians and we walk out these doors, when people look at our lives, that's what they equate Jesus with. Just to be honest. And that's why, yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong to do, but that's what happens, right? Because I can't live up to who Jesus is. But when I live my life in a way that's pleasing to God and other people see that, they really understand what God's all about. It's when I talk one way and I walk another way that there's issues and problems and the wrong thought process that goes on about what God is and who he wants to be in our lives. So I just want to encourage you, man, as you go out these doors, man, starting from the, like, if you go to the restaurants, be super nice to your waitress, even if she messes everything up or he messes everything up, right? If it takes you 35 minutes to sit there and get your table or maybe an hour and a half, you might want to pick a different restaurant or... Don't be grumpy as you walk out, or enjoy the people that put your cell phones down, put your stuff away, and just sow into the lives of the people that are around you, whether you know them or not. My wife hates that I do that, right? I'm like, what are y'all talking about? All right, here, let me be a part of it, you know? But you know what? No matter what you do, man, show the love of Christ in everything that you do, everything that you say. When I do cut you off on the road today, be nice. Don't honk your horn. You can think about it, but don't do it. Refrain. Man, let's show the love of God, how great he is to us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're all going to stand up together and sing another song, and then we're going to go out of here and try to be today the best that you can be, and try and be even better tomorrow with God's help. Allow him to change you every day. Because you know what? None of us ever arrive. None of us ever arrive till we stand there in front of him, right? We can always be better. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we get ready to leave out of here, God, I ask that you would help us show your love, grace, and mercy to everyone we come in contact with. God, help us fix those areas, those issues where we've messed up in the past. Let us forgive others, even in the midst of the issue or the problem, just as Jesus did, just as Stephen did, Father. Allow us to show that love, grace, and mercy. Allow us to be who you created us to be and to impact this world in a good way for you, Father God. We thank you that we can be a part of it. Ask that you would help us. Let us see you more and more in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Stand up and let's sing.